Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by Avant Card, making personal loans more personal.
53106 is our text number. That will cost you 30 cents, or you can follow us on Facebook or Twitter. It is time for So You Think You're an Adult. Barbara Scully and Declan Buckley join us once again. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
Your first question is this. I have crippling shyness and hate being in social situations. I was wondering if you could give me some advice on how to handle an upcoming event this week. My little boy started school last Thursday, and now this coming weekend, the parents are holding a mixer so we can all get to know one another. I will be going on my own. My ex-wife will be going with her new partner, which adds a whole other layer of awkwardness. Oh, crikey. I really don't want to have to explain the situation to a bunch of strangers, and I'm worried that it will be a source of gossip. I'm really bad with small talk and remembering people's names, and the thought of it has me trembling. I really want to go for the sake of my son, as I'm going to be involved with a school for the next 8 years. I feel so stupid for not being able to cope with this on my own.
Oh, God. You know, when I read this, the first thing that kind of jumped out at me, having had put three of them through school and remembering each of their three first kind of days in school, was the idea of a mixer. We didn't do that. Like on the first day, you kind of stayed for a cup of coffee while the kids only spent an hour in the school. And it was a much more natural way to kind of maybe, you know, make some connections with some of the other parents there. But this does sound up on another level, probably to do with the fact that most parents probably aren't really around now anymore. But anyway, that said, I think this guy has said he's got crippling shyness, and I'm not in any way trying to take from that. But I think all of us, you feel anxious, even those of us who couldn't be labelled as shy, going into this kind of situation where you don't know anybody.
Yeah.
You're going to have to make small talk. I can never remember anybody's name as well. I'm not particularly good at small talk and I don't enjoy it. But it's one of those things that you just have to do. I think in this case, and I'll come back to the partner situation in a minute, but he's let this get kind of out of control in his own head, where he's now absolutely dreading it. The good thing is that he doesn't have to stay that long. As long as he goes in, kind of flits around the room, talks to a few people, I think, you know, that'll be that box ticked and you'll have shown up and it'll be fine. I'm not sure what the protocol is here with the family situation, with his ex-wife going with her new partner. I would have thought, and maybe I'm wrong, that it would be more appropriate that it would be the mother and father of the child that were there. I'm not sure why the ex-partner...
Someone's making a point.
Okay. And that does make it a little awkward. But I would say to him, it's not at all going to be the source of any gossip, because there will be parents there who are lone parents. There'll be parents there who are in exactly the same situation like him.
Yeah.
There'll be parents there, maybe somebody who's a widow. Like, there'll be all the different convolutions of families there. So I don't think it'll be a source of gossip. I think that's something he has in his head and he needs to park. He doesn't say what the relationship is like between himself and his ex-partner, because obviously going in, one of the things that's the most terrifying is walking into a room on your own in a situation like this.
Yeah.
It would be easier on him, I would imagine, unless the situation with the ex-partner, and the new partner is really bad. If the three of them could go together, it would make it easier, certainly from an ice-breaking point of view. But he doesn't say as to what that's out. But I think that... I think this is one of these things you just have to power through, and you just have to put on your happy face and you just have to grit your teeth and go in and talk absolute crap to people for, you know, 20 minutes, half an hour. And
because it is a thing. It's, when you walk into those situations, you're going into a room with the only shared thing that all the humans have in that room is that they all have children in the same class in school.
Yeah.
And that's obviously what you're going to start talking about. So you're going to be having these kind of banal conversations about Tommy's first day and do they like the teacher, and, you know, what does he have for lunch and whatever. I mean, I don't know what parents talk to their children about. But I suppose from his point of view, he has the weirdness of thinking in his head that every person in that room is going, oh, what's going on? What's going on here? What's this? But everybody's thinking that about everybody anyway. You know, that's kind of what we do as people. You know, who's that? What's she wearing? What's going on here? That's just normal human kind of thinking. So I suppose if his point of view should be not what are they thinking, his point of view should be what am I going to speak to them about? Because once he's talking to them about something else, they're no longer thinking that what's going on here, they're actually having conversations.
But in my experience, in a lot of these cases, you don't have a whole lot of couples anyway, because even a couple who are still together, very often one will be at home minding the kids. They won't be both there anyway. So I think in his head, he has a vision of all these happily married couples or happily together couples, and there's him as an outlier with his ex-partner and her new partner. And that's not going to be the case. I don't think it's going to be as obvious.
So, and I also think that, I mean, for me personally, if this guy came in and says, you know, his ex is over there with her new partner, I would have a positive image of him. I'd go, that's a socially brave thing to do. He's obviously cares about his kid.
Yeah.
That they're all positives. There's not like, you know. So I suppose the other part then that he needs to be cognizant of is that if he's not making an effort to speak to people, that's where the negative thing might come in. If he's not actually sort of putting his neck on the line by introducing himself and you know, explaining who he is and who his kid is. And that's all he really has to do. I'm Tommy. My kid is Brian. I'll see you over the next number of years. And that's pretty much it. And, you know, that's the end.
Someone says, plain rude to bring along the new partner. It's classless.
I don't know if that's true, though, because, I mean, like, modern families have all different, as Barbara said, different kinds of blends, and we don't know the relationship that the new partner has with the kid.
Yeah.
And, you know, we all have to assume that they all have the best interests of that kid at heart, really.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I'd agree with that. But if it's making the dad feel uncomfortable, that's a bit weird. I mean, maybe the mother, his ex, should have been a bit more.
Yeah, it's poorly. We don't know how new the partner is.
Yeah.
But
he's
still
the parent.
He's still the parent,
He's still the parent. That's the bottom line,
The
really.
Fella who is not the father of this child.
You know, it'd be okay for him to be there if the father wasn't there for any particular reason. Do you know what I mean? Then fine. But I think
Because I reckon
the
ex-wife is using the partner as her social crutch to walk into the room. And that's what we're all in couples, to be honest.
It's the only reason.
I just need somebody to walk into the pub with. Thanks.
I have three children. I recently got divorced. I found offense with other parents very hard when we had first split up, but the more you go to things alone, people share their own experiences, and I've actually made some great new friends who have children and are in similar situations. So you're right, you're both right there. Almost certainly there will be other people there.
I would also say to him, he's not going to make new friends with other parents at this gig. This is just an icebreaker and a get to know him. But, you know, over the course of his child's school career, which is very long, but certainly, you know, a few months in, there'll be, you know, the child will have made friends with a particular kid in the class, and then you'll probably get to know their parents. So it'll all happen in a much more organic way.
Yeah.
This is very false, and everybody will be on their best behaviour. Mm. And, you know, it'll probably be a pain in the ass, but it's just one of those things, as you say, put on your happy pants.
Yeah,
and have
one or two things prepared to talk about.
Things about the school.
Yeah,
and
just have them in your head so you can just go, oh, hi, and blah, 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 blah,
that's right.
Your little thing. And then
as you stand there clutching your
And don't drink too much.
Don't get absolutely rat arse and take a swing at the new partner. We can
that's not a good idea.
I know one thing I'd say, though, is that he's worried about being a source of gossip. He really needs to own the fact that he's divorced or separated.
Yeah.
And not go around saying, hello, I'm Tommy, I'm separated. Because if he refers to the child's mother, people will automatically, because they do, make the assumption that they're together. If he stands with his ex-wife and the new partner, people might think it's some sort of weirdy threesome situation.
Yeah.
You don't want them that. So just volunteer that.
Yeah.
Volunteer that.
Your judgment is very, very nothing weirdy about that.
but just volunteer it and let it come up organically. But own it, and it won't be a source of gossip.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And good luck.
Yeah. There was war in the house this week over a tatty old jacket, and now I'm worried that my relationship is in trouble. That's a good opening sentence.
Yeah,
I was doing a bit of a clear out and got rid of a load of old stuff. I donated about half my own wardrobe to charity and threw out old shoes and the like that were too worn to reuse. One of the things that I threw out was my boyfriend's coat, which was faded, ripped and frayed.
Uh-oh.
When he came home and found out it was gone, he went mental. I couldn't even get it back because it went straight to the recycling centre. He said that I was totally out of order throwing out his personal stuff and wouldn't entertain me buying him a replacement. The other thing is that I also binned three pairs of his jeans, which he hasn't noticed yet, but I'm too afraid to say anything. He's been in a sulk all week and is barely speaking to me. I thought I was doing the right thing. They were so shabby and he looked terrible when he wore them. Is there any way to repair this?
No. This is what this woman has discovered is that it's very important in relationships that your perspective is not necessarily the same as the other person in the relationship's perspective. What you think is a tatty old coat could be like an item of great comfort and sentimentality to somebody else. I don't know that many straight men who have more than three pairs of jeans as well, so I'm a bit worried.
Oh, there's judgment there. Right there, there's judgment. Yeah, and you thrown it at Sean a while ago. Oh, my God.
I know, I said jeans, not chinos.
Yeah. Oh, there's more of it. My husband, if he's in the car, is just cracked. It is chinos.
But you know, it's like, come on, who takes other people's stuff and throws it out without... Well, unless you're doing a kind of a bit of sartorial editing and it's a deliberate ploy that you're going, I hate the way Rory dresses, therefore I am going to ditch all his clothes and get him a pair of black
and
chinos.
And do him a favour.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's just because you're trying to Instagram your own life and make it, you know, the way you want it to be for yourself.
No, it's not. There's more judgment there. God.
The judgment is in the person who's
deciding.
Nobody
wants their partner going around looking like an old hobo. It's not to do with Instagram. It's the fact that if you have to go out with him and he keeps putting out this tatty coat that has obviously seen better days, I can fully understand the urge to get rid of it. I may have done something like this. And
this is not the first time I've heard, and it's always in straight couples, and it's always the woman.
Yeah. And first of all, can I just say something else? Can I just
for
say
their own good?
Yeah, well, no. I learned it the hard way. But this time of year, something happens. Now, maybe this is just a female thing. Something happens where you are filled with the urge to sort your house out before the winter, a nesty kind of thing. Yeah. And you do go around doing big clear outs and you want to throw stuff out and you want to make space. And, you know, you might have to buy a few new things for the winter. So you need to get rid out of your wardrobe of things that are no longer serviceable. Yeah. And the temptation is huge, particularly if you are with a man who has decided he's not really that bothered anymore about how he looks. So I can fully understand, that might not be my husband, but I can fully understand her urge to throw things out. But I think the problem is that you can't do that without consent of the other person, because it is their stuff.
Women are under a lot more of a sort of a social pressure to you know, the orange is the new black and wear these, and I know this week's.
No, it's not to do with that. If it's tacky,
but it is because I think a lot of the things that I hear people getting thrown out are some tatty 1990s leather jacket, you know, that, you know, he used to wear when he was into Oasis, or bootcut jeans, or all these things that. You look at on the streets of Dublin and you'll see guys wearing things that are just not fashionable. They're not fashionable, but they're perfectly serviceable pair of dad chinos.
And no, but it's only
the fashionable eye that sees a problem in it. It's not the actual utility of it.
Yeah.
It's the fashion side. And that's the problem, because that's like...
I don't think so, Declan. Nobody could call me a fashion
I can't believe as a gay man I'm arguing against fashion. What's happening?
No, I think when something... I mean, she says that the jacket was frayed and faded and ripped. It sounds like it was banjaxed. It was worn to death. Now, I understand how he obviously had a fondness for this jacket and he loved it and he didn't see the problem with it. But I think where she made the mistake was in throwing it out. And I've learned this the hard way. You need to kind of say, that doesn't look great. That really has gone beyond. And let's go looking for a new jacket. But you need him to buy into it. Otherwise, you're going to end up with a sulk. By the way, sulking, I think, is an absolute disgrace. Anybody who sulks needs a... smack.
So it's your victim blaming.
He should go and have a row and get it all out there, but don't bloody sulk. The other thing the woman has a problem is that the problem she wants solved is she's thrown out three pairs of his jeans, which he doesn't know yet.
Yeah.
So what's she meant?
This is the thin end of the wedge.
She has to own up to that before
he
finds out.
How much clothes did he have, though? I mean, I'm actually kind of perplexed.
I think there's a subtext here. You're saying he's actually gay, are you? Because he had more than three pairs.
No, but I know fellas my age who've said to me, oh, do you still buy your own clothes?
Listen, yes.
That's what this is. This is the thin end of the wedge.
You're
if he lets her away
right.
with that, next thing you know, he's wearing stripy polo shirts all the time.
But oh, that'd be lovely on you. That'd be lovely on you.
Sorry, that's not where I thought you were going. Oh. I thought you were going to say, I know loads of couples my age as well, where the woman does all the shop, because he can't shop for himself. But he doesn't want to shop for himself either, so she shops for him. I mean, I wouldn't dream of doing that. Because I'm not his mother. But I think she needs to tell him about the jeans before he finds out. And I would suggest maybe go and buy three new pairs of jeans for him. Keep the receipts, obviously. And
I don't think that's a
gesture. But she's got to do something. If she can't retrieve
the
jeans.
Give him the money then. Because I mean, like, no. Don't be buying.
We don't know. The jacket itself may have, you know, he may have been very fond of this jacket for a whole range of reasons. The jeans, he mightn't even notice are gone.
You'd want an awful lot of jeans, Sean, if you know, if you didn't notice three are gone. Three.
This is what I was saying.
Would well, I mean, according to Declan, that's his entire jean supply.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. He's probably wearing the only pair he's left.
Well, no, hang on. If he doesn't notice the three jeans are gone, then there's another problem. Because obviously, you know, he's gay. You're living with a gay man.
Or he's got a secret stash of jeans living somewhere.
Obviously wearing shorts.
Yeah. I don't think we're telling. I think, lady, if you're listening, I think I'd do something about the jeans and I'd tell him before he finds them gone, because that's only going to make him worse.
Someone says, cop on. Maybe the woman wants her fella to not look like a tramp when
they
walk out
the door.
We all
want our fellas not to look like a tramp. Yeah. But like,
I broke up with a woman when she threw up my collection of concert t-shirts.
Oh yeah, that's
rock on, dude.
Yeah. But that's probably also kind of a you know, a record of all the various gigs you've been to.
I know. Again, it goes back to the thing. I think it's outrageous that anybody would throw out something belonging to somebody else, even if you think it's better for the collective living space. If you want to do that, the best thing to do is a halfway house, is where you put everything into a black
pile.
Sack, and then you hide the black sack. And if they don't notice it's gone in 6 months, then you can bin it.
Now, that's a seriously good tip.
Yeah.
Yes.
There you go.
Sometimes an item of clothing is more than just the tangible nature of it. It can be a memory of an event, or perhaps an ex-girlfriend with whom you share a boyfriend. a memory, not necessarily of her, but of what you were doing at the time. Okay. Nowhere he dare tell her that there could be more trouble than it's worth. So perhaps sulking is his only option. And perhaps she should have... whoever sent this text should have really not read it back before. So it says, so perhaps soaking is his only option. So
soaking.
Got this vision of somebody sitting in a bath for
soaking
weeks.
Soaking his coat.
My sister threw away a poster of Gaddafi that I brought back from Libya. She said she didn't like me having a picture of a dictator and she was doing me a favour. I'm just about talking to her now, 6 years later.
Wow.
Oh, God.
Barbara and Declan, thank you both very much. We'll take a break. Back in a couple of minutes.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by Avant Card, making personal loans more personal.